Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And today, welcome special guest Kurt Kunz to share his new book, A Million Steps. Kurt will share his transformational journey of ditching his corporate day job to a life-enhancing walk 500 miles across the Spanish countryside known as Walking the Camino. Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Kurt, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, the guests on the show and I myself share intimate and thoughtful versions of going within to that introspective part of ourselves in search of answers to the many life-altering questions. Who are we? Why are we here? And how can we improve the quality of life for ourselves and others? In today's episode, you and I will talk about your walk and the life on the Camino, where you didn't know where you would find the next meal or sleep. We will share stories from the other pilgrims or journeyers who you met along the way, and follow Kurt, follow you, as you climb over the high meadows of the Pyrenees, quest through the unceasing wind of the Meseta, and dance in the rain of Galicia, while following those yellow arrows that mark the route there, we will hear the personal history, your personal history, of addiction, recovery, and love. Kurt, you know, I find that the story of each amazing guest on this show begins early in their life, their childhood. Can you share something of your early life and interests and how it may have led you to this great adventure?
Yeah, as a youth, I led a pretty charmed life. I had two loving parents and a very happy household, and we did a lot of travel and a lot of recreation together. And I'd say it was a very good family unit, and a very nice lifestyle. I'm not really sure how I make the leap from my childhood to being 48 and walking the Camino, but I'm sure there was a seed planted early.
So, Kurt, why did you really decide to walk 500 miles all alone in foreign countries? You didn't speak the language, and you started in France, and you crossed the mountains into Spain. Why did you decide to take that walk at this time in your life?
Cheryl, it's a great question. I do a lot of public speaking. That is the number one question. I am very fortunate in that I retired from a Fortune 500 company 14 years ago. And over the last 14 years, I've spent a lot of time doing volunteer work and taking these journeys. And most of the journeys that I've taken to date have been on bicycle. And one year I went to Europe, I rode 2,000 miles over 42 days. Another year I rode from Seattle to San Diego. I went on another trip across Canada. And what I found on those journeys, when I put myself in an environment where I'm completely outside of my comfort zone in a new place doing something I've never done before, that's where as a person I grow. So in 2010, I saw the movie The Way, which is about the Camino, Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez film. And in the theater, I knew at some point in time I would be on this trail. In August of 2012, the sea parted way, everything made sense, and I booked a plane ticket, and 3 weeks later, I was over there on the trail.
It wasn't a coincidence that you saw that movie. It was like you were supposed to be there because it was supposed to take you on the next step of your personal soul journey.
Oh, there's no question. I don't believe in any I just don't believe in any chances anymore. I believe the universe has a place for all of us, and that every person I meet, every event that happens in my life, there's a reason for it. And I try to learn from the bad ones, and I try to ride the wave of the good ones.
Absolutely. Well said. Now, you said that you wanted time for an inner journey, contemplating your past, your childhood, 12 years of being sober, and to think about the love of your life and a long-term relationship that you were involved in. And you said that the first third of the trip is for the body, and the second trip or third is for the mind, and the last third is for the soul. So can you tell us something about that?
Oh, I sure can. There's kind of a lot of questions there. As far as the, I definitely have an alcohol history. I started drinking beer when I was about 13 years old, and I, about 24 years later, I decided it was time to stop that. And life gave me a lot of stop signs on a daily basis, and I blew through every one of them. And I was fortunate to, you know, I had a successful career. I had some very incredible women in my life, but alcohol dominated for too long of a period. I abused it, and I ended up with, I would say, and it's something I wrote in the book, I think that when you kind of delude yourself with alcohol, drugs, whatever your tea of choice is, that you kind of, you separate yourself from your feelings, and you never really let the feelings in because you're always in a bit of a haze. And I found that since I quit drinking, that the feelings just penetrated, and I found out a lot more about myself, and I learned an awful lot. So while walking the Camino, I certainly had reflections back on that portion of my life. I think a little more importantly, and kind of back on the trail, this trail is divided up into three very distinct regions, and the first third of the trip, you climb across some big mountains. You walk across the French Pyrenees, which separates the, you know, France and Spain. And as you go through the first roughly 180 miles, there's about 15,000 feet of elevation gain. Through that period, your body changes. You get strong, you get blisters, you have pain, and you build stamina, and you lose weight. And at the end of that first, you know, say 10 days or so, you're strong, you're ready to roll. This middle portion called the meseta, it's flat, and there's nothing to distract you. Through that area, they say that's where, they call it the Don Quixote portion of the trip, and that's where your mind tends to clear out. And interestingly enough, when I walked through that area, the wind was blowing at gale force speed for every day I was on the meseta, and I literally felt as if my mind was blown free in that area. The final portion of the trip, very much like a Washington State or Oregon State rainforest, a really thick, lush vegetation, lots of mountains, dense green foliage, and it's really rich. Realizing there's an end to the trip, every little event seemed to just soak in deeper. I would say my soul became a sponge, and I just soaked every moment up and appreciated it with intense gratitude.
Your soul was able to soak it up because you had released a lot of those limitations and fears from your childhood and other belief systems that were given to you, perhaps by parents or teachers or siblings or friends, as we all have. And Kurt, you received some very good advice, and I found it very amusing, from the hospitalero, or man in charge at one of the hostels, you said, that you stayed in. And he said to you, "This is your trip, your life, your adventure. Do not make the trip for anyone else. Make it for yourself. If you walk with a new friend and they walk too fast, say goodbye. Let them go. This is your trip. Your Camino is for you." And I think that's such an important lesson for all our listeners to know, that we have to dance and sing our own song, trust our own intuition or inner wisdom, and it's really not the outside influences or people who take us out of our moment of awareness, beauty, and truth. It comes from within if we have a fear about it. So he gave you really, really good advice, and I think as you walked along the pathway there, you met other people who also shared stories with you, who also were able to make this trip their own. So can you tell us anything about your primary companions?
I can tell you a lot. First off, that story that you brought up about the hospitalero, that was the very first night of my trip. And I listened to this man as he was checking some other people in, and he was giving the advice to them, but he was kind of talking to all of us in the room. And at first I thought, wow, that's kind of selfish. I mean, wouldn't you want to help people and be with them and this and that? And after about a day and a half of walking, it became crystal clear. You compromise in your life so much all the time. And over on this trail, the walk is for you. And you need to walk at your own pace, and you need to maybe carry and inspire some people along with you, but you never really need to do it for them, if that makes some sense. And you transfer that into your life, too. You look at how many times, you know, I heard a speaker the other day I loved. He said, you know, the power of no is just as strong as the power of yes. And so
Absolutely.
Often when we say yes, yes to others, we're really saying no to ourselves. And I like that concept of don't ever be afraid to, don't, you know, march to your own drum, do your own thing. We're all given this gift of life. And go for it. I don't have to lead your life. You don't have to lead mine. But hopefully, as we intersect, we're able to share our gifts with each other.
You know, like you, I would have thought it was being a little selfish years ago to consider doing everything I wanted to develop myself, my own talents and spiritual gifts. But I have learned that when you develop your own talents and gifts, you're happier and you give out an energy. And you help all those people around you to also. So we want to make sure we're doing the best for ourselves because we'll be doing the best for everybody else. Right?
Oh, it's perfectly stated. And this whole idea of sharing energy and sharing experience and this and that, it's just been an incredible trip for me. I left my home in September of 2012, and I left every expectation behind, and I was just going on a walk. I was going on a journey, and I've been fortunate, as I mentioned in the prelude here, I've taken a lot of journeys, so I just thought it'd be another one. Halfway through this trip, I was so blown away by what was happening to me and all the people around me that I decided to write this book. I came home, I spent 7 months writing the book and worked with an editor, and we released it 1 year to the date of my first step in Spain. So that was quite a feat for me. As I began getting closer to publishing the book, it dawned on me, no one in New York, Florida, or Kansas City is probably dying to read Kurt Kuntz's book because nobody knows me. So I started speaking. And over the past year, I've done over 100 speaking events, and to be able to go out and share such a joyous experience that I had through the book, through speaking, through whatever it is, I really have put myself out there. And the beautiful thing that's happened to me is all these people continue to, I just feel like they almost parachute into my life. It's almost as if I'm back on that trail walking along and just bumbling into new friends all the time.
And I'd like to read something you wrote because you show the enthusiasm for what you did and what you were looking for in this. And you wrote, I was completely hooked with the first step. I climbed the consistently steep trail for 5 hours to the summit at Col de Lipoderre. The sun shone with intermittent clouds streaming above and below my vantage points. In the valleys, the mountain peaks looked like jagged island poking through a sea of giant cotton balls. Thousands of sheep grazed in the green hills, their bells clanging on air currents all around me. Multiple pairs of griffin vultures with their white heads and 8-foot wingspans soared overhead. I felt completely honored to watch them ride the thermals with so little effort. Several times I found myself sitting on a rock, mesmerized by their flight patterns. I could actually visualize and sense the beauty of the scene and also the spiritual essence of your vision and opening up at that moment to the freedom that you felt within yourself when you shared that moment of complete peace being in that spot. So tell us something of the spiritual energy of that place or another place along the road and how being in nature surrounded by its beauty opened you up to many possibilities.
Oh, this entire trip is spiritual in nature from start to beginning. That passage that you just read, that was my very first day. And as you described that, I was so in the moment on that entire trip that every word you just read there, I recall it vividly as if it was moments ago. I remember walking up that exact hill. I remember the thoughts going through my head. I remember who I was walking with. It's just very, very intense. And I would say that probably one of the big spiritual things that happened to me, everyone's always told me that you need to live in the now. And I've read the Eckhart Tolle books and Wayne Dyer's, and I'm a big fan of all of them, and I love to absorb that information, but I've never really understood what being in the now really is. I think this Camino taught me exactly what it is. And my version is this. Every day in your life, when you're stuck in routines, everything is planned out. You know what's going to happen. You know what your work day is going to be. You know what you're going to do on the weekend. Everything's kind of planned. You know the food you're going to eat.
Right.
When you're on the Camino, nothing is planned. You don't know where you're going to sleep, who you're going to walk with, what the weather's going to be, how far you're going to walk, if your body will allow you to get as far as you hope to go. And in that constant state of being challenged, you have no time to think about yesterday and no time to worry about tomorrow. To me, that's what being in the now is. It takes most people between 30 and 45 days to walk the Camino. I was in the 30 crowd. You spend 30 days in the now, you get a crystal clear picture of what that is, and it grows roots inside of you. So after coming home from the trip, I'm at least cognizant and aware when I drift into my past, I say, what am I doing here? I mean, am I wasting time with a unfortunate deal, or am I possibly learning something? And the same for the future. I mean, we all need practical planning. We need food in the cupboards. We need the rent money, the mortgage payment, whatever it is. But do you really have to worry about, you know, are your 3-year-old kids going to make it to college in 18 years? Are you going to have cancer in 22 years? Is this going to happen? And in my speaking, so far, I ask the people all the time. I say, who in this room is where they thought they expected to be 5 years ago? 5,000 people, I've not seen one hand go up.
No, there are people who say to themselves, let me project 5 years from now and where I would like to be. And they do where I would like, and they do have an idea of what they want. But if you haven't learned to be in the now and focus your intention and attention and pay attention to the law of attraction, which means we draw to ourselves what we put our effort and hard work into. In 5 years, you're not going to be what you thought, because it's not just the thought. It's not just about being happy, and it's not just about positive thinking. It's about putting your whole energy system and passion for something and then doing the work. So I think you found that, and that's what being in the now means. Not to worry about the past. It's really over, and we don't need energy there. And not to worry about the future, because, as you know, coincidences are messages from a higher place and source, and we do have a life plan. And we just have to do the best we can in every activity, in every day or moment, and in every interaction with other people to be authentic and true to the joy of knowing ourself and developing ourself. And that's really what I have found about being in the now. And I think it's a wonderful place to be without fear. Now, you did say during the course of the walk, doubt made its debut, as it does for all of us, because we're all our worst enemies. You know, that's where the fears creep in. And on any given day, 50% of the thoughts we have may be fearful, but we don't have to engage them. We don't have to put too much attention or interest. It's not where we really want to be or where we want to go. So when that came in, it's made its debut. You said you began to wonder what you were doing here. And I think all of us do when we try something that's very different for us and we take ourselves out of our comfort zone. But this is the beginning of personal development and spiritual growth. So you asked those questions, and I know you began to think of your dad who had passed, your girlfriend Roberta, and you also had a good friend Jim who worked together with you at Micron Technology, and your mother. So can you tell us something about the way these thoughts started to surface in you and how you began to have a greater understanding or compassion for yourself and them?
Yeah, again, there's a lot of material there. I would say the first portion is this whole concept of doubt. When I was in the very first couple of days that I'm walking along, I did have doubt, and I didn't have doubt enter my head is a question of whether or not I could or could not make the walk. I knew physically I could do the walk. The doubt was mentally, could I really enjoy it? Could I go through walking in nature, leading a simple lifestyle, sleeping in hostels with strangers? Could I do that with enjoyment for 30 days? And I wondered. I wasn't sure. After about 3 or 4 days, I had one of those moments where I realized there's a finite number of days left on this journey, just as there's a finite number of days left in your life. And it became one of glass half full, half empty, if you will, where I realized that I needed to savor each and every one of these moments going forward, because the trip would end. As far as the thoughts of the people, there's a lot of stuff that goes through your head. I mean, I thought about my father. My father died from alcoholism, and I quit drinking the day that he was, on the day that he died, I quit 100%. And ironically, my grandfather also died of alcoholism, and this will give you the chills here, Cheryl. He died on the exact same day that I was born. So I think that's a little bit...
Yes, that's not random. That's a very
That's
big
a little bit too much.
Message
but
for
so,
you.
So when I go back and I look at my father's death, what I really realized on that trip, it was a horrible loss. But I really think I lost him to alcohol years before he actually passed naturally. And I look back at his death as really a new beginning for me, because unlike him, when his father died, he continued. When my father died, I stopped, and the greatest thing that I ever did, it gave me a whole new beginning, and so I contemplated that. I had a woman, the love of my life. We'd been together for about 4 years, and really pretty close to marriage and all those wonderful things. The last year of our relationship, it got a little rough. Things just weren't, we kind of ebb and flowed, but this was a lot of flowing and very little ebbing, and I came to the conclusion on this walk that all people walk at a different pace. We're all going to different places. And when we cross and intersect, again, we share our gift. And at some point in time, it's time to walk on. And it's not the end of the world that you may walk alone for a while. And
absolutely
that's
true.
That's the conclusion I came to with my girlfriend. And when I came home, unfortunately, we did break up. But
well, let me tell you something, Kurt. Every relationship lasts as long as it needs for the soul to discover something about themselves. And you, as you say, this is a very big spiritual understanding that changes to be expected, and people flow into our lives and out in order to share something that perhaps our soul hopes to discover. But as we are unique, we have so much to offer the world. We're never really going to be alone, because there's so much energy and souls and universal life around us and other people. And if we think that way, actually, I do remember my mom when I was a little girl saying to me, I must have been upset because a friend must have left me and not wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I called her a flat lever. I remember saying that to my mom. She's a flat lever. I was little. And my mother said, well, that's okay. You'll see her again. And Cheryl, let me tell you something. You will never be alone. I remember that, and I think that's what you also discovered. We are surrounded by the beauty of so many people who are so very different, each of us so unique, and beauty, and we're surrounded by nature, and we're surrounded by experiences, just these wonderful changes happening all the time. So that's what you were discovering there, and it would be better if we don't waste too much energy or time on being too sad why something ends or change, but look to the next opportunity, right?
Yeah, it creates space for the next person or event to come into your life, and you have to have open arms for that. And on focusing on the end, when I speak, Cheryl, and I say this, and a lot of times I irritate the audience, I say 100% of all relationships in your life end, 100%. And if there's an afterlife, there's something else, but in your mortal life, 100% end. And that's your relationship with your employer, your spouse, your children, your, whatever it may be, your body, your mind, whatever it is, in a constant state of change. And they ultimately all end. Some of them end prematurely, some of them end at death, but there's a 100% end rate. With that, if you can't accept that change is inevitable and an ending is inevitable, then you'll get hung up on that. I look back at this beautiful woman who was in my life for 4 years and all of the things that she taught me about myself, the wonderful times that we had together, that's what it was all about. Do I wish it ended? No. But did it happen? Yes. And am I going to get caught up on that? I just can't. And I'm sure that in the rearview mirror at some point in time, it will make clear and crystal, it'll be crystal clear why that happened.
Well, everything you just said is the truth. But
I just accept that.
Yes, and we need to accept and allow and surrender to these changes, because I don't think anything is ever lost. I see everything as a new beginning. And you wrote in the book, just like real life, I experienced a series of meaningful and small insights, and I believe we all have an internal life, and the Camino acts as a rheostat to greatly increase the intensity. With care and effort, I hope to keep that light glowing brightly until my last breath. I am letting go of worry, because chronic worry doesn't bring happiness. It is difficult to implement eliminating all worry from life, but a continued effort to do so, and a realization that many events are out of our control, and the only thing we ultimately control is our response and action in regard to events in our life. And that's what you were just talking about. And when people can have a fix on that and a handle on that, their life becomes so much healthier, and they can find love within themselves, and then they can create more of that and draw that to themselves. So what are the main points you would like readers to take away from your book?
Oh, there's several of them, Cheryl. I would say number one is never be afraid to get outside of your comfort zone and endeavor to do so, because that's where the really good stuff happens. Pay attention to living in the now. As we've kind of beat into a little bit of submission here, this whole concept of worry. You just have to eliminate worry from your life. It serves no useful purpose.
Absolutely.
And it robs time from the present moment. And the comment you just made about controlling your reaction to things, that's the only thing you control. So when you go to the airport and your flight is canceled, you have two choices. You can sit there and be upset and go, I can't believe this happened, and you can throw a pity party for yourself, or you can say, hey, it's an opportunity for me to sit back and maybe enjoy a new restaurant here, maybe meet a new person at the airport, maybe it's my time to go in the corner and read a book. Whatever it is, one of those has a very positive outcome and one of them has a very negative one. And always choose the positive, because you can't make that flight take off. It's beyond your control.
This is funny here, but yes, I agree with you. I missed a flight to Puerto Vallarta, and my student was with me, and she turned bright red, and she was so angry. And I said, no, it'll be all right. We'll get the next one. Maybe that flight is going to have a mishap, and we're not supposed to be on it, and whatever. And I left, and it all worked out, of course. That's the key to happiness, isn't it? Acceptance. Nothing is really that big a deal. And when people get upset with other people and they create drama, anger, frustration, all these lower vibrational energies, they're actually setting up a path toward illness and dysfunction. And when you choose not to be in that type of life situation, or to allow yourself to be drawn into that, you allow yourself the possibilities for great growth and to have experiences that can expand your soul and your mind and your heart. And that's what we want, and that's what we want our listeners to try to begin to do. So I want to thank you, Kurt Koontz, for sharing your amazing journey on your walk along the Camino and your personal inner journey of awakening to the truth of the beauty of yourself and life. For those who wish to make the journey, either physically or vicariously, through Kurt's description in a million steps, go to KurtKoontz.com. and purchase his story of the walk along the Camino that many immortals have shared with him. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have left the confines of our daily life and our comfort zone to visit a place through the mountains and roadways of Spain that holds the beauty and wisdom of life, if only the mind and heart are open to receive this view of nature, universal energy, and man. By taking one step into the unknown, Kurt opened up a new world of understanding of himself, the people he loved, the emotions and values he wished to develop in the days to come. Kurt and I hope you do the same. Begin to focus on what holds you back from being the magnificent, loving being you are, and little by little, with effort and consistency, shed the layers of trauma, emotional stifling, and fear to go forward towards an open, free expression of joy, acceptance, and surrender to whatever presents itself in your life. You are the creator of your destiny, and with high hopes, fine ideas, the support of open-minded friends, and your own intentions for improving everything in life, you make that possibility a reality. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors and leaders in the field of human development, explore the possibilities for higher consciousness, self-development of emotional, physical, and spiritual dynamics for the purpose of living a healthier and more purposeful life journey. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure and a joy.